Hello, one and all, and welcome to the podcast we call The Fantastival with myself, Steve Nussbaum, in the podcast where I invite my guests to come on and talk to me all about their musical tastes, their memories, their experiences, and they get to collate their fantasy festivals, which I have christened Fantastivals. We are now on episode number 85, and before we commence with this one, I'd just like to say a massive thank you to the secret drug addict who came on, who was my guest in episode 84. That was really insightful chat, all about working in the music industry and about drugs and addiction, about how he's turned his life around and how he's been clean and how he's used his social media accounts for a real good purpose and getting involved in so many charities. So a massive thank you to the secret drug addict for coming on in episode 84. And that was the last episode. This, like I said, is 85, and I've got to say before we start this one again, a massive thanks to my buddy John Leach, who got me to see a band in October. It was a rainy, horrible, cold night. I really didn't want to go. He said, "This band are amazing live." I said, "John, I've seen enough amazing bands." He said, "No, come out and see another one." I said, "Okay, John, let's go." He took me down the Horn in St. Albans, and I saw a band called October Drift who blew my face off. They were awesome. I'm delighted to be joined by the frontman and guitarist of October Drift. It's Kieran Roy.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolute pleasure.
Good to be here.
Absolutely pleasure for coming on the podcast. I'm chuffed to have you on. It's been my mission to get one of the October Drift boys on. So thanks for coming on. We'll obviously speak all about your music taste and October Drift, but as a starting point, Kieran, I always like to check in with my guests, find out how they've been. It's been a difficult year or two now. So how have you been, Kieran?
Yeah, okay. Been obviously a bit of a weird couple of years. We with the pandemic, obviously we released the first album, Forever Whatever, in the January. Released it in the January, managed the one tour in the February, and then in the March went into lockdown. Yeah. So that was like, you know, not that it was the most important thing going on, but that was our campaign kind of spanner in the works there. But I work in a bar as well, so I was furloughed. We were like lucky in that respect, where we weren't crippled financially and stuff like that. It was a shame we couldn't tour the album and stuff like we'd planned, but there was also a lot of time for writing and recording when we could then meet up a bit later on in the year. So we tried to make the most of it, and then we were able to tour. We did a socially distanced tour back in May, was it? And then we've done the tour that you came and seen us on, I think. And we've got the next tour next month. So, it's been a funny few years, but I think we've had it not too bad, all things considered.
Yeah, great to hear. It was great to see you. You were one of like my first gigs back, and it was like a nice gig. It felt like a nice, intimate, small gig, but spacey. And it felt like the room was kind of completely one and like zen, and everyone was like grateful to be there. It was a real nice feeling to be in that room, in that environment.
One thing we were like really grateful for is we've got, a few years ago, we we used to hire a studio, which was from our old college tutor. He had a studio and he'd hire it to us. So we'd be there like 3 days a week or something. And it got broken into a few years ago. And then we sort of decided to set up our own little studio, which was just on an industrial estate. Because we had that, when we could meet up and stuff, like we had somewhere to go and we could still write and record. And like, that was just good for our sanity as much as anything, you know, like you could still be productive and get some things done. Because I think a lot of bands probably weren't in a position where they could meet up or it's hard work, you know. So we were really grateful for that.
So how did you get into playing guitar? Was it something you'd done at an early age, or was it a bit later on when you was a teenager? How did it come to you? How did you get into it?
Yeah, I did it from an early age. My dad played guitar badly, I'd say, but I don't know if he doesn't hear that. So I was always brought up with, you know, a guitar knocking around, and I did guitar lessons through school, like from quite an early age. And then got really into, like, I think it was almost a bit like homework when I was doing it when I was really little. When we kind of were like teenagers and started playing music together and writing songs and stuff, that's when we sort of got really mad into it, you know.
And were you kind of do the teenage journey of kind of cover bands into like bands first and then into October Drift essentially?
Yeah. Started off doing probably some dodgy classic rock covers and blues rock and things like that. So as I'm sure is a common story, you know.
And how did October Drift...
But yeah, we played...
Go on.
We all went to school together actually. So two of the band went to a sort of nursery together. So we've known each other since we were kids. We got into music and skateboarding at the same time, sort of thing. We sort of We've got some skate videos from when we were teenagers as well. So we'd, that's really how we became friends, sort of through a mutual love of music, playing music together and writing songs and skateboarding.
And that's essentially what is October Drift nowadays, the same lineup and the same friendships, which is amazing, really.
Pretty much. I mean, like the three of us, it was Alex, me and Dan to begin with a different drummer and stuff like that. And then Chris joined when we were like maybe 16. And since then, the four of us have been playing together as the same lineup, yeah.
That's amazing.
So a long time, yeah.
Really cool. Really cool. And how did you write the songs then? Because a lot of your songs are quite varied. There's some slow ones, there's some acoustic-y ones, there's some quite heavy ones, there's atmospheric ones. How does like the songwriting process work? Do you get an idea and take it forward, or is it all kind of shared?
It's very much shared. Like, I think we do have sort of two sides to us in a way. Like, we've got where we both can sort of shine, but we've got like the heavy sort of stuff, and we've got a more chilled out side that... But in terms of songwriting, most of the time it's, because we've got the studio and stuff like that, it's kind of like someone will bring in an idea and then we'll lay it down and then build it from there, just like put on another instrument and take it home. And all the lyrics is me, but the like everyone else has like a lot of input with the structure and the sounds and everything like that.
So I hear lots of different influences in some of your stuff. I hear obviously a bit of Nirvana, hear a bit of Pixies, mm-hmm. I hear a bit of My Bloody Valentine. Mm-hmm. I hear lots of different things going on. So I guess for you, who are your influences? Where does that come from?
I guess because we've done it throughout together, and then like as we were like finding new things, it'd be like we'd take a little bit of that and mm-hmm. then take a bit of this, and eventually like it would develop our sound as well. But yeah, I mean, finding sort of My Bloody Valentine and a lot of shoegaze bands and Jesus and Mary Chain and stuff like that, like sort of discovering them when we were like, I think maybe like 17 or something. We were like, oh wow, like how do we do that? Like, and then get a bit of that sort of creeps into the sound. And so yeah, that, I mean, like the same thing with a lot of like 90s, like, you know, 80s bands, and we already knew like Nirvana and stuff like that, but just getting into lots of different bands. The National was a massive one on us when we were like probably a similar age, like at college. We used to have it's not there anymore, but there used to be a record shop called Black Cat Records in Taunton, where we're from. And the guy Phil there would like just let us sort of chill out there when we were at college, make us cups of tea and stuff, and show us, you know, music that he thought we might like, which was like massively important to it, like, you know, us finding out about new music and stuff at the time.
And I got to ask, you hold your guitar quite high up. Like, it's not the traditional kind of... Is that just the way you've always played it, or have you kind of styled it from someone? Has that always been the way you've played it?
I always played it like that, I think. I think it came from being a bit self-conscious as a teenager, like, hiding myself a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's, kind of how I've always done it.
So...
The other thing is, when I move, like, we're a very energetic live band, and not having this guitar swinging around as well, if it's just, like, attached to me, it's kind of easier. It doesn't, like, bash against you and stuff like that. The thing is, I've always played it like that before we kind of moved so much, so I think it was a bit of both, really.
So, lots of EPs out, and like you said, the one album, which is fantastic, I can't recommend it hardly enough or forever, whatever. But there's lots now going on, like going forward. You just had a new single out called Insects, which was released on Friday, just gone. Tell us about the single. How did that come about?
It started with the bass line, which Biz Alex came to the studio with, and I think we just started jamming it a little bit. It's the Insects lyric came from going to the Kelvin Grove Museum in Glasgow. My girlfriend lives in Glasgow, so I spend like back and forth a little bit. So that was kind of... I think we had half of the song, but not the chorus. And then it was after seeing those Victorian, like, taxidermy of all the sort of insects and bugs and stuff on the walls. And it's a kind of coming-of-age song, like, kind of about feeling life pull you in different directions and things like that. Yeah, we're super pleased with how it's come out. Buzzing to get it out there.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And we put Airborne Panic Attack out back in... Was that in October? That was in October, I think. And then we put this single out now. So this is single two from the album. And the album's coming out in September... And we'll have another few singles in the meantime.
So let's talk about the album. So, yeah. It's just been announced as we record. You've just kind of announced the album. So it comes out September the 23rd. I Don't Belong Anywhere. I'm very excited about it. Seems to be a great reaction from what I've seen on social media. So I guess tell us a bit more about the album. What can October Drift fans like expect from the album?
I'd say musically it's more direct in a way, like bigger choruses, sort of punchier sound. Like I think Forever Whatever has a very, like, a very distinct sound, and it's got a big sound, but like sounds very much like the band in a room. But I think this is more sonically direct, if that makes sense. We recorded it ourselves, which was a big learning curve because of the circumstances with the lockdowns and things like that, like getting studio time and things like that. So it was a big learning curve for us, and it took a lot longer than it might have done if someone else was, you know, recording it. But I think actually really proud of what we've pulled off. I think we've winged it successfully. It's great. Like, we had the test pressings through the other day, and actually to put on the vinyl and be like, oh, like hearing it all through, like, yeah, this, I think we've done a good job at it, lads. Like, it's cool.
Brilliant. I can't wait to hear it. I guess that must be a really euphoric feeling of doing all this hard work and suddenly this black piece of wax turns up and all that work's in this little 12 inches of vinyl and you pull it down.
It's a funny one as well, because Forever Whatever was like an amalgamation of like so many years, like led to that album. And then it was like, right, you've got your, well, it's the, you know, tricky second album. It's like, right, okay, so this one was all written and recorded in a fairly short space of time. So I think it's feels more like, well, to me anyway, feels more like it fits together maybe better than the first album as well, because it was all written in a sort of similar time, apart from one song, which is an old one. And I think it sort of reflects a bit of how we were feeling sort of in that space, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's obviously got themes of, it's not a lockdown, it's not a coronavirus album, do you know what I mean? But it's impossible for some of those themes and stuff not to sort of seep in there. Yeah, really excited for everyone to hear it.
Yeah, and before that comes out, you've got another UK tour, which is at the back end of March, early April. I'm gutted because I'm going to Butlins in April. So I admit, you're doing London on like the Thursday night. I get back on the Friday. So I'm really gutted to be missing that. But big tour lined up for March, April. I guess you've mentioned kind of how energetic your life set is, and it really is energetic. You've got Chris on the drums, who hits a drum fairly hard and fairly aggressive, I would say, but in a really good way. And in either side of you, you've got Dan and Alex, who are really, they're not still, are they? They like a bit of a bounce around, no, and they like to get into it, and so do you. So you guys must be, I guess, really looking forward to that.
Yeah, for sure. I think we played for so long in front of no one, and like maybe one disinterested like bloke and his dog, you know. We were like, we got more and more almost to like competitive with each other, like, how mental can you go to capture whoever's there, like for it to be something that, you know, that they might talk about. And that's kind of where that's come from. We've got more and more energetic, I think, over the years, but the set's also got longer and longer, and we've got older and older, so get a bit of cardiovascular test at that point. But no, especially after that, such a while of not gigging, when we came back to the gigs, it was like, all right, like, are we still going to be able to do this? But yeah, of course it was absolutely fine.
On the flip side of that, I've got to say, something I did really enjoy when I saw you is that there were bits where you took it down, and I think towards the end of the show, you'd done like The Snow We Fall, which was just you on an acoustic, and Chris like backing you and just slapping, like, I think his leg, I think he was slapping, or something that made like a drum sound.
Yeah, the tambourine.
Yeah. I think that was a really good way of like differentiating the set, and you've done it with a few different songs where you brought it down. So as well as doing the rocky stuff, a bit more mellow when needs be, but really, really good emotive stuff as well.
We did that EP after Forever Whatever. We put out the Naked EP, which was like four tracks, which was kind of, Naked was on Forever Whatever, and then we did three other tracks which were like acoustic-y, like The Snow We Fall was on there, and that was nice, because it wasn't something we planned to do. It was just cut out of the, like, we could do it, and it was something we could do that might keep momentum, if you know what I mean, like, while there wasn't tours and stuff going on. But it was also really nice to show like a different side to like our music. And so like I said, we do have that other sort of side. And I think when we came to write this album, put this album out, we kind of found we had like quite a hard hitting rock album, and like big choruses, quite sort of direct. And then we also had a bunch of songs that were kind of more like ethereal, like, and a bit more expansive. So I think album three, like, we've already kind of got most of album three written, I think.
Wow.
And I think that's more that way. So yeah,
I love it. I love it when artists are about to release an album and then they go, oh, by the way, I've already written the next one. So I had that with Tommy from Space a couple of weeks ago. He was like, the new album's not even out until 3 months away, but I've already done the next one and I'm demoing that. And you're like, how are you doing this so quickly? Do you know what I mean? Like, by the time it's out, you're already on to like, almost the next phase of the band.
Yeah, but I think it's different for every artist, of course, but like especially the process with the pandemic and everything that's been going on, it's like not been the quickest process getting everything actually in place for all of the announcements and stuff like that. So buzzing to actually be in the position now where vinyl's getting pressed as we speak, got the dates all thing. It was a big concern about, I'm sure you know about like the vinyl pressing delays and stuff like that as well. So like, it's just good that we've got that being pressed and we've got the test pressings. So yeah, it's great to like finally be in a position now where it's all ready to go.
Yeah, all guns blazing.
Good to go.
Guns
blazing, exactly.
So for the time being, if anyone wants to listen to October Drift, you're on all kind of streaming platforms, Spotify, mm-hmm. Apple Music, Amazon, but you do have a lot of physical products as well. So at the show, I saw you selling the CD, selling the vinyl, so you can also buy all the physical. So if someone does listen to you for the first time and goes, yeah, this is brilliant, I like that, they can go on your website mm-hmm. or go to a show and they can buy the physical as well.
Yeah, 100%. It's a big, like, for us, the merchandise and stuff like that, selling it at gigs kind of helps us sort of stay afloat and everything. So, and I think a lot of people who get into our band also like having the physical, like vinyl and stuff like that, sort of seems to sell quite well. So, but it is a nice thing to have as well. I like when I can sort of getting the vinyl, especially if it's something I really like.
Yeah, I completely agree. So, Kieran, what do you like? Like, what music are you into? I guess it's easy to go, right, he's in a rock band, so he's going to like rock and shoegaze and moody stuff. But what do you actually like? Like, what do you listen to when you're at home of an evening?
Well, I do like, obviously, like the rocky stuff, I was going to say some of this stuff here, like Nirvana and Master System and that kind of thing. But I've also, I love lyrics as well. So a lot of like a bit more chilled out, like old folky stuff as well that I'm into, sort of like Nick Drake and Leonard Cohen and Bill Ryder Jones here is on the thing. And I think there's a bunch of sort of bands who are not as big who are sort of more, there's bands like Juno Def and a bunch of bands who we've played with who are also amazing as well.
Good stuff. Good range of artists there.
What was the question, sorry?
I was just going to say that was a good range of artists there who you mentioned.
Yeah. I mean, like Radiohead, Nirvana, The National, sort of Sharon Van Etten, like that kind of thing. Yeah, at the minute, the new Big Thief album. Yeah.
I listened to Big Thief, actually. That kind of kept coming up on my Spotify to listen to. I actually quite enjoyed the Big Thief album. It's a good album.
Yeah. The last few albums of theirs have, like, been amazing. Like, the Shark Smile was the song that first got me into them. And then this latest album, I think, is really good.
Yeah, they kept popping up on my, recommends and doing, like, four nights at Shepherd's Bush Empire. And I was like, who are nights at Shepherd's Bush Empire? I was like, who are these boys? But obviously, they're boys, aren't they? So, at the...
Spotify was interesting. Like my most listened to artist of last year was Michael Kiwanuka. So I was like, I was really looking forward to seeing him at Green Man, but he couldn't play, I think, because of the getting across. But I'd like to see him at some point as well.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of opportunity, hopefully, in the future.
Fingers crossed.
So let me take you back. Do you remember like what your first record was? Do you remember buying your first record and what that record was?
I remember. My sister would send cassettes to my dad, which I'd end up listening to, which I think had like a bunch of hip hop records and Nirvana Unplugged and stuff like that. I think the first records that I actually bought was by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, by the way, and the Unplugged in New York. I think bought those two albums together. That's my earliest memory. That, or it was that, or a Gorillaz cassette from like Sainsbury's.
Great stuff. This podcast is all about you. You get to collect your fantasy festival, and we love talking about festivals mm-hmm. here. Are you a big fan of festivals?
Yeah, love festivals. Love going to gigs as well, which is something growing. Like, obviously, we've got Glastonbury just down the road from us, but Taunton, where we're from, we had a venue, but it's not really got many places to go. So try and get to gigs as much as possible when the opportunities come around, you know. And love going to festivals, love playing at festivals, 100%. We're off to see Wolf Alice tomorrow as well, I think, actually.
Oh, I had one of my last guests, Megan Wynn, went to see Wolf Alice about 2 weeks ago in Liverpool and said they were like amazing.
Yeah, buzzing for it. It's the last gig. I went to see Idols a few weeks ago in the Barrowlands, which was great. It's nice to see their rise as well, being from Bristol. Like, you know, we played with them on the same bill in sort of 5 or 6 years ago before they were big, you know, before they were just in a little room at the Fecla. So it's been so nice to see their sort of rise. And also, I'd not been to the Barrowlands before as well, so it was nice to go there as well.
Yeah, I've had a lot of...
But I think it's...
Go on, Kieran, sorry.
I think it seems like a really good time for sort of that sort of, well, guitar music anyway, like at least in the mainstream. Like, I think it's in a really good place with sort of bands like Idols and Wolf Alice and Sam Fender and, you know, Fontaines DC and stuff like that. Sort of some really great guitar music at the minute.
Yeah, really good music. I've got a lot of friends in Scotland. I've had a lot of guests from like the kind of the new music scene in Scotland. And they always, whenever I ask about their favourite gigs, it's always something at the Barrowlands. Like, they say the Barrowlands is like the place to be. So I'm glad kind of you've mentioned that and given that a shout out. Are there any other gigs that you've been to that you look back on and you go, wow, that was just an incredible gig?
Yeah, there's a few, but I think going like gigs from at Glastonbury, especially when we were sort of I think it was like 2010, and it was me and Dan at Glastonbury, and it was a band called The Local Natives, and then a band called The Big Pink, and then there was The Secret Slot, which was Tom York and Johnny Greenwood came out.
Wow.
And that was like, I think, as we just sort of stuck in the one place, and we were like 18, I think, and that, or yeah, it's like 17, 18, and I think that still, at the time, was like, yeah, we both were like sort of blown away.
I remember Big Pink. They were supposed to be like the next big thing, and it never, they think had one big single, I can't remember what it was called, but it never quite took off.
Yeah, yeah, the Domino's one, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Big Pink. Wow.
And the rest of the album, I think, didn't really sound like that single. I mean, that single was a bit naff, but like, I think it's been a while since I revisited it, but especially thought it was cool at the time.
Yeah, I remember they were everywhere at the time. So, I said at the top of the pod, this is all about you getting to collect your fantasy festival. So I guess Kieran gets to pick any five acts for his fantasy festival. One of his acts must play one of his studio albums in full, and Kieran, you get to pick an encore for all your acts to play at the end of your fantasy festival. So five acts get to perform together to close your fantasy festival. So I mentioned at the top of the show, in the last episode, I had the secret drug addict on. He collated his Girls to the Front fantasy festival at the London Astoria. So he took us back to the old stomping ground of the Astoria. In his opening slot, he had Bikini Kill. In his super second slot, he had Kraftwerk. In his Midway Madness slot, he had Parliament / Funkadelic / George Clinton playing Motor Booty Affair in full. That was a great album, actually. I listened to that the other day. That was awesome. In his pre-headline slot, and for their first ever time picked on a fantasy festival lineup, he picked Sonic Youth. So Sonic Youth finally make their festival debut. And in his headline act, he picked the Chemical Brothers to close his fantasy festival. And he had all five of them play Tiny Dancer as his encore.
Oh, that's great. That's a great shout.
Which is his favourite ever song. So it can be any five acts of your choice. But before we talk about five acts, Kieran, you get to name your fantasy festival and you get to give it a venue. So what are you going to call your fantasy festival?
I've gone with Manifest. Like, do you know it was the 2222 the other day?
Yeah.
The 22nd of the... and there was a lot of the stuff about this, you know, manifesting for things that you want. And I think it's a bit cheesy for the festival title here, but that's what I've picked here.
I like
it. Manifest.
I like it, Manifest. Yeah. Do you know, my daughter came to me with school and I saw it, that there's two terms for it. If you look at the date upside down, it's exactly the same. And if you look at the date right to left, it's exactly the same. There's two words for that completely gone out of my head. But I thought that was really an interesting fact. Not just a good podcast about music, but a good podcast about facts as well. So, Kieran, you can take us to Taunton for Manifest. You can take us back to the Hall in St Albans. You can take us to America. You can take us wherever you want to take us. We'll follow you gladly. So where are you going to hold your Manifest Fantasy Festival?
I'd do it not too far from me, just out of, you know, laziness. to be fair, I said I was at Greenland like in the summer, and that in the Brecon Beacons there was such a beautiful sight for a festival. But I think I'm just going to do it. There's a few airfields near where we are. There's one in Western Zoyland where you go up to learn to drive a car there in the airfield. Another one called Dunkerswell, which is where we shot the Over Silence video.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen that. It's me running after the van. We first filmed that, and I was on one of those, what's it called? It's like a hoverboard. I don't know if you've seen them. You lean forward and it moves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My nephew's got one.
The first idea of that video was for me to follow the van. We'd shoot out the back of the van and I'd hoverboard towards the thing, but you wouldn't see the hoverboard, so it'd be like this weird floating thing. But the old airfield ground was so dodgy that we couldn't get through a tape without me stacking it. So after about five takes or something, I was like, God, can't do this anymore. So we ended up just running it, and then yeah, that was the video. So I'd do it there, I think. Dunkerswell Airfield.
Love yeah. it. Dunkerswell Airfield. I love the fact...
Which is in Devon. Devon somewhere, yeah.
I love the fact the director's probably going, all you need to do, Kieran, is just get on this little apparatus and just go forward. That's all you need to do, and we'll just follow you. And you go,
I mean, it was as directing as it ourselves. Like, we sort of... We make our own music videos, and we've done the artwork on this one, and we've recorded the album and stuff. So it's very, like, DIY, you know? So so it was just us. I'm done with this hoverboard.
Great stuff. Otis, I've got to commend you for that track. That's an amazing track. That's a great... I always find you can always tell if it's going to be a good album by the second track, because the first one is always like an introduction and there's lots going on. I'm always hooked by the second track, so I think that's like a perfect second track for that album. So as soon as that kicked in, I was like, yeah, like, this is going to be a good album by these boys. Like, I'm on side. So we've got Manifest. We've got Manifest taking place at Dunkerswell Airfield. And before we talk about your five acts in, any acts you want to mention who haven't made it into your five? I'm quite aware that getting a five is quite difficult, and there's going to be lots of acts.
Tricky, yeah. It was tricky. There's quite like, to be honest, this is the list that I made at this point in time, but I'm a very indecisive person. and you ask me next week and it might be a different list, in all honesty. So there's other bands, like I said about the sort of froze up a little bit earlier, but there's bands like Black Foxes and China Bears, and Festival Parade. There's a bunch of bands that are sort of on our sort of level, there's the band called Lucky Shivers who've just put out an EP as well, which is really good. So I'll give all of them a mention, yeah.
Yeah, I know a bit
and
about...
And there's bands...
And I've heard Black Foxes before. I've heard the I'm Not Well track by Black Foxes, which is a great track.
Yeah, amazing band. Went and saw them at the Louisiana in Bristol not too long ago, which was a great gig. One of my favourite venues as well. Some amazing bands that haven't made my list here, like I saw Biffy in Scotland not too long ago. That was an amazing gig. And I've seen them a bunch of times. They're always like incredible live. And I said about Tom York and Johnny Greenwood and stuff like that. But they don't need me to to big them up.
Great stuff. I love Biffy. Biffy was my album of 2 years ago. The one that they played on Glasgow Green, that album for me was just perfection. That album, when I listened to it, I was like in this room in lockdown, just rocking it and just having a great album.
They've just put out the documentary as well. I need to see it. I haven't seen it, but I've heard it's really good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I don't know if you've heard if it's kind of up your street, and I spoke about it in the last episode, but I watched episode one of that Kanye West documentary more out of like intrigue. More than anything else. It was amazing. He came across, like, it's obviously him trying to get signed, and everyone's going, no, mate, like, you're a producer, you're not a rapper. Mm-hmm. And to see someone who is that famous now, and no one really, like, cares about him.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And he's got the drive and the talent, like, yeah. I haven't seen it, but, I've heard about it, and I'd like to see it, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good watch, actually. I really recommend that. It's a really good, interesting eye-opener. So, some great acts haven't made it into the Manifest Fantasy Festival, but five have. So let's talk about it. So 2 o'clock, time for your opening act, Kieran. So who's going to open Manifest?
I'm going to go with Bill Ryder Jones for my opener slot. So I got it. Well, I got into him a few years ago with his, like, I think the last three albums he's done, the West Kirby County Primary and the Yawn. And then he did the other version of that, which was called Yawny Yawn, I think, I just think he's a really amazing songwriter. And he's a producer as well, but I've never seen him live either, and I'd love to see him live, and I think he's got some cracking songs. So he's opening my festival. I think it'd be a nice eases in as well. It's got some really cool sort of, especially when it gets a little bit more, not in that last album because that's kind of acoustic-y, but when it gets a little bit heavy and sort of alt, like a bit sort of, alt folk, but in a really cool way.
Love it.
He'd be opening.
Love it. So Bill Ryder Jones opens your fantasy festival. First time he's been picked for a fantasy festival lineup. So he finally achieves his lifelong dream of making it into a fantastical lineup. He's going to play.
He was in the choral work first, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that album.
We played with
Dom.
Yeah. We played a gig with the choral. He's not in the band anymore, but we played with the choral in Norwich a few years ago. But yeah, Bill Ryder Jones would be opening that up.
I think I know you're younger than me, but now I see bands like The Coral having like the 20th anniversary gigs for like their debut album, and think I was working in a record shop when that came out. Yeah. It makes me feel very very old, but not in a bad
way. Did I hear you have worked in HMV from a previous episode? Did you say?
I've worked in HMV for 23 years cool. since I was 18. So from boy cool. to from boy to man, I followed it.
Yeah.
I followed it forward. But it's been great to work there. Like I've seen some amazing days where when I worked in the West End and like the Strokes, the day that this album came out, the mm-hmm. day when Parachutes came out, the day when In Rainbows by Radiohead came out, and you're like, what is man. This? What are they doing? Before digital was there. So you hadn't heard anything, and you're like, this doesn't sound like OK Computer. What's going on? And yeah. like, just like loads of like stuff like that. It's been.
I remember hearing In Rainbows for the first time as well. Like the Bend, I grew up with the Bends as well, yeah. and that was like I loved that album so much. But In Rainbows as well was, I think that's still my favourite Radiohead album. Like so good. Well, that it's between the Bends and that, but In Rainbows is maybe like a better album. But I think I've got a soft spot for the Bends.
Yeah, the Bends is a classic album. And also, I always remember Arctic Monkeys, just four little kids from Sheffield out of nowhere, and it was like, who? Like, literally, who are they? And in that really felt like a great time to be working in a music shop in that kind of industry. Amazing time.
Yeah, I bet.
Really cool. Right, so Bill Ryder Jones opens up Manifest, one act down, four left to go. We'll take a half hour break, so that'll take us to 3:30. It'll be time for your super seconds act, Kieran. So who's going to play in your super second slot?
I think I'm going to go with Big Thief for the second slot here. Again, I haven't seen him, hoping to sort of, like I said, that most recent album, which came out just in February there, I think, was so, so good. And I've heard a bit about Adrienne Lenker, the front woman. She seems like a really interesting person. There was like all this stuff about her being raised in this Christian community and some of that coming out in the lyrics and stuff like that. And I'd love to see him live. Yeah, the latest album's Dragon New Warm Mountain, I believe is called. I think it's a weird one, but they've put, I think, like five albums.
Yeah, there's a few, isn't there? Yeah.
She wrote her first album when she was like 13 or something. I think she's a bit of a genius, you know?
Yeah, she's really cool. And like I said, like I don't profess know everything about music, but I did think I've not heard of them. They're doing Four Nights at Shepherd's Bush, and then went and looked on Spotify, and it was like something like 50 million streams of that. They've got one track that gets, obviously you must be on something because it streams a lot more than everything else, but that was a really good track, and then mm-hmm. that led me into their album, which is a great album.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they'd be second on. I think they would go together quite well as well.
Yeah, totally. It's Big Thief, your super second slot.
Big Thief, yeah. It was Sharp Smile that first got me into them, like a few years ago, but then the last two albums I've given more attention to than previous, like those last two ones I've got really into.
Yeah, I think they're a band who are just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and next time it'll be Four Nights at Brixton Academy, and then before you know it they'll kind of like shoot off into mm-hmm. the stratosphere. So Big Thief, like Bill Ryder Jones, make their first Fantasy Festival appearance, Kieran. So two new acts onto the Fantasy cool. Festival list. Love it.
Well, hey.
Two acts
let's
down.
See if these guys are
let's see. So Midway Madness slot, gonna take a half hour break, that takes us to 5:00. Who's gonna put in your Midway Madness slot? To be fair, Kieran, I don't know if you know, you can put your own band into your own Fantasy Festival. It has happened before, and
I wonder if anyone would do that.
it has been done.
No, I couldn't do that. The third slot I'm going to give to Master System, which was Scott Hutchinson from Frightened Rabbit. That was the last album he was involved in, so it was him and his brother. And then it was Justin Lockie and his brother. Justin Lockie's the guitarist and Editors, who
right.
basically we toured with Editors in 2018, and it was off the back of that Justin wanted to sign us to his label, or record us and put it out on his label, Phys Ed Records. So that's how our first album came about. And I think ours was the next album that was made in that studio, Justin's studio in Doncaster, after Scott passed away. But the album, the Master System album, Dance Music, it's incredible. Like probably one of my favourite albums, definitely, if not my favourite album. And they just did the one tour, and then Scott passed away, so I would have loved to have seen it played live, so that would be my third slot there.
Love it. Great stuff.
Big Frightened Rabbit fan as well, but the Master System record sort of, it's got that Nirvana. It's quite a similar sound to our first album as well, like the same studio, same producer, like, and we kind of went for that balls to the walls sort of sound as well. So yeah.
I love it. Frightened Rabbit gets spoken about a bit on this podcast. Like I said, I know quite a lot of Scottish artists, new music coming through, and a lot always mention when we talk about gigs and the ones who were lucky enough to see Frightened Rabbit always speak about seeing Frightened Rabbit. And it was a bit like how I found your show to be. Like, it was all like in unison, and it was all very, everyone was as one, and it all felt like a big, everyone knew like every word. Like, there wasn't anyone in there who didn't know anything. Like, everyone like knew everyone.
And he's such a good lyricist as well, like, like on all the Frightened Rabbit and Master System stuff. Like, the way that Master System record sounds like a band that have been together since they were kids, you know. But it was like, I think the music was mostly written, and then Scott came into the studio and just like laid down all the vocals that he'd written. But it doesn't, weird how it came out like that, because it doesn't sound like that at all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. Totally. It's gone far too soon. Taken far too soon. So, Master System, are you Midway Madness slot? They've never been picked before. So, we've got three new acts for your fantasy festival. Are we going to go the whole hog and have five new acts? We'll find out. So, Master System play for an hour from 5 till 6. We'll take another half hour break, and it'll be time for your pre-headline act from 6:30 to 8:00. So, Kieran, who's going to take your pre-headline act slot?
For this slot, I was thinking for Sharon Van Etten. Sort of American singer-songwriter, and has a bunch of just great songs, you know, like great festival songs as well, like a bunch of sort of sing-alongs, and just really good songwriter. That song she did with Angel Olsen as well last year, I think, was my favourite song of last year. And again, I've never seen her live. I missed her at Glastonbury, so I would have, so far I've not seen any of these bands live. and in fact, I've not seen any of the bands that are on my list live, so maybe there's part of that as well on my fantasy festival lineup. Because there is bands, like I said, about amazing bands who've blown me away live. So
it's your it's your fantasy festival. You can do whatever you like. So some people go with bands they've seen, some haven't. Some people have gone with people who have passed away who they're never gonna see. So I like the fact so far you haven't seen any of your bands live. Sharon Van Etten always seems to me someone who's always on the verge of going massive. She's always on like best of year polls when you're reading about like best of year albums, as well as like in the top five, but always seems to be kind of like a well-kept secret, but big enough to kind of do like decent tours and stuff.
Yeah, and she's done some quite big collaborations and stuff like that. And she did I think she did a lot of the vocals on one of the national albums as well. And obviously big tours and festivals and things like that. So yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
She makes her fantasy festival debut as well, Kieran. So she's going to take your pre-headline slot at Manifest. So 4 acts down, 1 act left to go. We're going to play from 8:30 to 11 in your headline act slot. So who is going to headline?
This was Manifest? A tricky one, you know. I was thinking it could have been like Radiohead or Biffy, or, then I thought Leonard Cohen maybe, because he's, ooh, that would have been good. I've got a Leonard Cohen tattoo actually. So I was
you?
You know, he holds a place in my heart. Yeah. So, and then I thought, oh, maybe he'd be a bit sort of, and it would be amazing. But then I thought, actually, oh, you could do David Bowie as your headliner. And that's big.
Yeah.
That's a good headline. So, yeah, I think I've gone with David Bowie for this one, if that's all right.
That is absolutely fine. I'll ask you, were you ever lucky enough to see Leonard Cohen?
No, unfortunately not. And he just got better with age as well, didn't he? Just so good. I know my brother did. Was that a glass? That might have been. Did he do? That might have been.
He done a massive gig at the O2 that they put out on DVD and CD, and that was, again, was another one where that was at the point where I worked in the stores, and we just sold loads of it, like out of nowhere almost. Mm-hmm. That was like a really an amazing performance by him.
Was that the last album that he did?
Darker one. Yeah. While he was alive, anyway.
Album was like amazing. I think there's something like weirdly interesting about that thing of, you know, like in the same way that David Bowie did it, and this, like Leonard Cohen and like Johnny Cash as well, where like that kind of last spurt of like creativity and like getting out like before you die is it's something kind of morbid but kind of interesting about that as well, especially when it's like really good. So I kind of wonder if I would have just been like, well, I've done really well now, you know, I'll just go in peace. Not have to worry about writing another album, do you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that Johnny Cash, like American recordings, when he's doing like Desperado and Hurt and just him on the acoustic, and you can literally hear like every breath that he's just trying to force out, let alone sing a song. is quite something. So David Bowie then, I mean, there's lots of David Bowie that you can take. There's obviously 70s Bowie, 80s Bowie, 90s Bowie. Black Star, like you said, is a phenomenal album and stuff. Is there any kind of Bowie phase that you want, or is there an era that you would want him to play in that 2.5 hours?
I'd let him decide, to be honest. But I think I just, like, obviously he was so ahead of his time at the time, and then constantly evolving, constantly keeping people on their toes. I kind of got into him when I was like a little kid. One of the things that, like, before YouTube and things like that, like, just had cassettes with like random Top of the Pops on them, and yeah, or get, like, live concerts as well. I had Queen live at Wembley or something on a VHS. So like, you'd end up just watching those kind of things, like, just loads of times. Top of the Pops ones was one of them, and David Bowie's thing on Top of the Pops 2 was one of them. Quite, like, yeah. So no, I'd let him. Maybe Ziggy Stardust is probably the one that I'd maybe go back to, but I'd kind of let him do what he wants on that one, on that respect.
I think he'd be all right. I think he'd know what to do. I think he'd be all right.
Yeah,
I think he'd be right to do it. So, unsurprisingly, go on.
I was just saying that we did Rockaway Beach Festival at the Butlins down in Bognor Regis in January, and it was great because you got to get your hotel room in the Butlins as well, so it's all in the same compound complex sort of thing. So it's really good. We did the Friday, and then we were on the way home on the Saturday and got called back because there was a gig slot that opened up on the Sunday. So we came back. So I think it was on the Saturday night. I'm back at the hotel room on my own, like a bit like, you know, half cut, and it was the David Bowie I think it was maybe the anniversary of his death.
Yes, because it was like end of January, wasn't it, or mid-Jan, like when he passed. Yeah,
and he had like the David Bowie documentary, and then he had the live at Glastonbury full performance, and I was just watching it in that like total awe, like, oh man, I can't believe I've never seen it, but yeah. Like, Jesus, like, what an artist.
I'm glad you mentioned the Rockaway Festival, because my friend Leslie Watson, who's been a guest on this and really supportive of the show, missed you guys on the Friday, and I was like, you've got to see October Drift. And she was like, oh, I got you late, I missed them. And then when you obviously played, I think, on the Sunday, I got recalled back, she was like, I'm going to go and see them. I was like, you'll love it. And then all she'd done after your set was send me a text going, October Drift, fuck, like that, in terms of like clappy emoticons and like guitar like emoticons.
Awesome. Well, thanks for getting it there.
So
David, yeah, it was actually a really cool festival there.
Yeah, it looked really good.
Like the setting and stuff like that is like a bit, well, it's Butlin's set, so like a few people I told it, they were like almost sniggered a bit, and I was like, no, like, I think it's like really cool, like it's really good, and like the music and like lineup and stuff was great, and like I said, like the, it's not like the way it was like getting your rooms and stuff like that, it's cool.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing now that Butlins do. I had Keith Mullin from The Farm on at the back end of last year, just before they were going to do Shine On, which is like a big like Britpop like festival.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And some of the videos of that looked like insane in terms of like The Farm, like in break, like some like big old bands in the 90s who were just filling out these like 3-day events. I think that's a real kind of big thing that will keep on going. So Bowie is going to give you 2.5 hours, going to do a great set. Then at 11 o'clock, he's going to call back out Sharon Van Etten, Master System, Big Thief, and Bill Ryder Jones. And they all get to play one track on your call. You can tell them to play whatever you want. So what are you going to have
to play? I've forgotten about this bit until... forgotten about this last bit. But I'm going to go with Love Will Tear Us Apart.
I think it would be
a great festival ender. I saw New Order back at Festival when, like, years ago. And when they did the sort of the Joy Division stuff at the end, everyone singing along. Like, those songs have definitely lasted the test of time, and I think that would be a great festival ender. One of the Johnny Greenwood and Tom York doing that acoustic, that stripped back gig they did, ended with Karma Police, and that was like, as the field sort of emptied, everyone's still singing the "For a Minute There, I Lost Myself," and like just everyone's still chanting it for like probably about 10 minutes after the gig finished, which was, that was like quite phenomenal. But I think I'll go with Love Will Tear Us Apart for this one.
Great festival closer. Great choice. So let's lock in your fantasy festival then. So we've got the Manifest Festival taking place at Dunkerswell Airfield. I hope I've said that right. I think I have.
Yeah.
In the opening act, we've got Bill Ryder Jones. Super Seconds, we've got Big Thief. Midway Man's got Master System. And are they playing their album Dance Music, did we say? Are they going to play dance
music? Yeah, so they just did the one album.
So they get to play dance music.
In full, yeah.
Love it. Sharon Van Etten is your pre-headline act, and David Bowie headlines, and for your encore, they're all going to play Love Will Tear Us Apart. That sounds like an amazing fantasy festival. Are you happy to lock that one into the Fantastival vaults?
Yeah, please, lock her up.
Lock her up.
Yeah, I'm glad you think so.
So before we close this one, Kieran, let's really give a massive push for October Drift. So big, big tour coming up in the UK over March and April. And I've seen you've got a date in Europe or two after that. Are you looking to hit like the festival circuit in the summer? Is that kind of the aim to do?
Yeah, we'll see, but yeah, we'll play many festivals, you know. Yeah, 100%. We've got, like I said, we've got more music coming out, and it's gonna be a busy year for us, for sure. We've got this tour, and then we're gonna be doing obviously plenty more touring with the album coming out and things like that. A few festivals in the something big I can't talk about at the minute, which we're yet to announce, which I'm really buzzing for. It's a shame I can't announce it, but yeah, we've got a few festivals and like a couple of European things as well. The Holland Vestrock in Holland, really excited to go back to. We did that quite a few years ago, but they've invited us back to play a bigger stage as well. So that'd be really cool to go back to that one. Yeah, just looking forward to getting all the music out and seeing everyone on the tour.
Wicked. I can't wait to hear it. So that album comes out September the 23rd. You can now pre-order it, right? So you can go to October Drift, you can pre-order that album, and you can get it on vinyl
As of tonight, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've got the limited edition clear vinyl, black vinyl, CDs. Yeah,
brilliant.
Buzzing to get it out.
Yeah, can't wait to hear it. And if anyone wants to follow you on social media, I know you're on Twitter, you're on Insta, you're on Facebook. You've got a very passionate fan group on Facebook as well.
Yeah, if anyone wants to find that, yeah, the Facebook October Drift Community, it's called on Facebook. That's kind of post some bits of like exclusive stuff, and like we filmed, we went live on it yesterday, filmed like rehearsal sessions and stuff like that. And yeah, just trying. It's nice. It's not really nice actually. And I think there'll be like, that's where like there'll be meetups and stuff like that arranged on there before the gigs and things like that. So yeah, if anyone wants to try and find that,
yeah, go and give October Drift a follow. Yeah, go and listen to them. Go and buy it. Go and pre-order their album. Get part of that community, because it's a great welcoming community and very passionate about your band, which is fantastic.
Yeah, after such a long time of sort of touring the country and in front of no one, it is like super special that there's actually people who want to come out and see us, you know. That's still like a massive buzz that these rooms are sort of filling up across, up and down the UK. It's beautiful to see.
Yeah, make sure you get out and see October Drift. So that is it. Thanks to everyone who's listened to the 85th episode of the Fantastival podcast. And if you've enjoyed this one, please subscribe if you're listening on iTunes. You can give us a review on iTunes, and you can rate the show now on Spotify if that's how you're listening. So please remember to do that. We are also on Twitter, as are October Drift. So if you don't follow us on Twitter, give us a follow at Fantastivalp. And if you're not on Twitter, you can email the podcast if you like at fantastivalpodcast@outlook.com. Unfortunately, you can't play music on podcast, but I'll get some tracks from Kieran. We'll make a nice little Spotify playlist with his fantasy festival artists. We'll put a few October Drift tracks on there as well. So Kieran, a massive thank you for coming on. I'm chuffed to finally get you.
It's been great
having you on, and you know, it looks like it's gonna be a very busy and productive year for October Drift.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Thanks so much for having me on the show here.
Pleasure. So I'll be back soon with episode number 86, so please make sure to join me. But until then, stay safe, my Fantastival friends. Please continue to spread the word, and that word is Fantastival. Thanks for listening.